Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks, please. Any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengow. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the Rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, I dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, even Eric. And actually, today's Thursday, right? That means we have to do around the NFL. With the
not going
to
be here for that, Fred. Locker room.
Locker room. Everyone's leaving.
Well, I'm leaving.
Well, you're the only.
I have a specific interview I need to get today.
Oh wow, are you going to get it?
I'm told it's being made available today. So
one on one.
Maybe two, but
two on one. Okay.
Maybe.
Did you tell him that
you
want to
let us in on this or, at all? Or
just Brian Hoyer.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm on a conference call. So don't pick up.
Would you stop with that already? Please.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Leave him alone.
What's wrong with that?
Doc's not being nice.
No.
That Has he big, ever been nice a day in his life?
That was a big part of the big show yesterday.
Got you lunch yesterday, didn't or Tuesday, didn't I?
What happened? I didn't get to listen.
Did you?
Huh?
Fun is being made at someone's expense.
That
soundbite was a big
That's
part.
Made it to the big show now?
Yes.
But funnier than that, I thought.
Everybody thinks that I gave it to them.
That's kind of mean and gotten its play, but I almost called you, Fred, because I know you listen when Paul's on often.
Yeah.
I got in my car at right around 5 o'clock and made it from here all the way down 495 to 24. Never heard Paul. And I'm literally thinking, I hope nothing happened and he had to leave the show. The funny part is, I didn't hear the other guy either. It was just Glenn Ordway talking, and I literally thought something bad had happened, and Paul like had to go pick up one of his kids or something. And then at the very end, I hear him just say something, and they go to a break. He said like one line, and they went to a break.
No, but I listened. You were talking a lot. It was actually mostly
He
you.
Took a whole segment off, like a 15 or 20-minute segment. Just
what happened there?
I was writing my Pulse story.
Did Tom Caron have a Pulse story to do as well?
He
didn't talk either.
He was answering emails.
It's to the point where I was waiting for Glenn to say, do I pay you guys to come on this show with me?
I said to Andy, though,
you're making my
Andy is that rare guy. You know, and he always makes fun of himself for this. He can truly make fun of anybody for anything. He actually was making fun of me, Fred, for not talking enough.
Right.
Well, it's so atypical, it stood out.
It was amazing to me. You know what the worst part is, though? I know exactly the part of the show he's talking about.
And he's right.
And I consciously was thinking to myself,
I took that one
wow,
off.
I've been quiet for a while. I wonder if Andy is listening. Well, he's gotten in my head. He's in my head.
Well, there was the part where you're talking to Danny Ainge. That's no, when I click off.
Well, that was very funny.
I click off then.
Oh, then you missed a very good chance to make fun of me then.
Yeah.
Because I asked him a question, and I basically got, you know.
Benditsoned?
Well, I was going to say that, but I felt bad.
But 2 days in a row, I ruined his life.
I asked him about Marquise Daniels and if there were similarities between he and James Posey with their versatility. And I meant more defensively, able to guard two guards, threes, fours, and all that stuff. And he kind of was like, well, their games are so different. And I was like, oh, I guess I missed on that one. But then he said, well, actually, defensively, he kind of, you know, he bailed me out. But it was kind of funny. It was definitely, if you had that clip, Andy could just be like,
so were you writing a story?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of the show, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
And you missed a good Weiner line, some PFW chatter.
Really?
Well, sort of.
Sort of. Well, not overly flattering PFW chatter.
What'd they call us, the penny?
Patriots penny saver.
Oh,
working down here at Jonathan City.
Yeah, they called it Jonathan nice. City.
That's not nice.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Patriots but penny saver.
He deserved it after the 20 minutes of not nice toward William Bendison.
I didn't say anything.
No, but it was because of you.
That's not true.
It is true.
It's not true. I didn't provide that clip that somebody on the other side of the glass just played.
Would have never been played had you not been there.
That's true.
Really?
That they were waiting for me to come in to play it. Oh. I've had it for a while.
Because they wanted to set you up?
Yeah.
All right. You guys were at the press conference. What went on?
All right. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482
went to
is
practice,
the phone
too.
Number. One day closer to facing off against the Miami Dolphins here at Gillette Stadium. They had practice early today,
yes,
right? And
yes.
Eric, were you out there?
Was there, Fred. Yeah.
And who was there and who wasn't there?
The same six people who weren't there yesterday were not there today. And I say that with emphasis because on the injury report, it was listed that Ty Warren did not participate, which is inaccurate.
Inaccurate.
Yeah. It's inaccurate.
He didn't participate at all. It wasn't limited participation?
Nope. They put did not participate,
all right.
Which is inaccurate because he was out there and he took part in stretching and the first part of the drills, the first few seconds of the drills that we saw when we left.
Okay.
So somebody made a mistake, it looks
maybe
like.
Maybe he was wearing a different number.
Nope, he was not.
Did we get to the bottom of why Sean Springs was wearing Jonathan Wilhite's number?
We didn't.
We haven't had locker
We haven't had
yet.
The chance to, though.
Okay, so locker room is...
He was out there with his own jersey number again today, and Wilhite was again not there today among the missing.
And according to the rap sheet, or is it the rap report?
Well, it's the injury report now.
His name is Rappaport, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So why doesn't he call it the rap report?
Well, maybe you should tell him.
That's actually better.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
The rap sheet is something the Herald already had.
And it's usually
from a guy
bad
named Joe.
Bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The rap sheet was Joe Raposa.
Right. So he should be the rap report.
Rap report. Yeah. Maybe I'll bring that up to him.
He had an update because it was Wilhite was listed as illness on the report, but did the rap sheet or whatever it's called have any further information?
Yesterday he reported it.
What?
Illness. Yeah. Earlier in the day, and I said I would wait to get more factual information from a more reliable source.
I would
the
agree.
Injury report is a reliable source.
There was also an addition
Imagine that.
To the,
I'm
injury
believing
report,
the injury report
yes.
late in the day that Over Benjamin him. Watson was limited because of
a back injury. Yeah.
But he was out there at stretching and in the beginning of drills as well.
Also thought it was interesting that Moss is a shoulder, not a back.
Yeah, I thought that was a little curious too.
For whatever that
Well, that
for.
Could be a new injury from the Tampa
the
Bay
Tampa
game.
Bay game.
Right.
Was the back,
maybe the
shoulder.
Back is okay.
When he took the hit on that incomplete, but I just...
It looked like it was his back when he was coming off
yeah,
the field.
Yeah, I kind of thought he was tight.
Right.
Freddie?
Yeah.
Back, shoulder,
shoulder
back, of the,
back
shoulder.
Of the shoulder. Right.
Who knows?
All right, and Bill Belichick today, what did he have to say?
Not a tremendous amount. Talked a little bit at the beginning of the press conference
hitter.
About... Yeah, it was a very short one, which was nice. But talked about Ricky Williams in the speed... the speed sweep, you know, off the Wildcat in conventional formations.
What do they call that? The buck sweep?
I believe it is a buck sweep. We used to run that at Wellesley when I dabbled in football a little bit, Andy, off the wing tee. That was so the buck sweep would make sense out of the Wildcat. Just talking about how you have to, it's more or less a decision that you have to make because if you hook the end and you turn that back inside, it could definitely leave you more susceptible to the inside runs.
Right.
So you kind of have to pick your poison and decide which one you want to load up on. Bill talked about those decisions and what goes into them a little bit. It's a little X's and O's breakdown off the top of the press conference. Other than that,
not really a whole lot that was earth-shattering. Did you think, Eric?
No, not really. And he was right on time, and he ended probably a good 8 minutes quicker than he normally does. I think because he wanted to get out to practice it,
yeah.
I guess.
I'm wondering, because yesterday I think Bill said, what you see on tape with Miami isn't necessarily what you're going to see. He did say that again today,
that no matter what you prepare for, you're going to get something new. Right. Dan Henning is a gadget guy, and he's always looking for fresh stuff. He'll give them something that they haven't prepared for.
Right. So given that, I'm wondering if Bill Belichick has to kind of put on his Miami Dolphin, offense hat and say, if I were them, what would I do to switch things up and kind of guess and almost say, look, guys, you may not see this, but they might do this, and almost guess at things that, guys might see so that when they do see it, it's not a total shock.
Well, I think what some people are trying to guess is that you're going to see more of Pat White than you've seen so far this year.
All right.
And that would be an element that is sort of an unknown because obviously we know he can throw the ball, we know he can run, but we haven't really seen him do much of it in that offense as much as maybe people expected him to. So
I think you have to be careful with the whole guessing on what they might do. I think you just need to prepare and then be ready to make quick adjustments in the game, knowing there's going to be some things you're going to see. Because if you just start, what did he say? Henning goes back to 72 with
Florida State.
I mean, the guy has 30-plus years of gimmicks, gadgets, adjustments.
Head coach at BC.
Right. And if you start trying to predict.
Two times in the NFL, Atlanta and San Diego.
I think you just have to be ready to adjust because what are the chances you pick the three needles out of the haystack that he picks?
Yeah, but like we talked about yesterday, it all really does come down to fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy in front of you misses a block, well, you're free to tackle him, okay? Go ahead, So beat your man and go to the ball.
Right. The players kind of were very open last year that they got caught off guard by the Wildcat and, weren't prepared for it and all that and kind of critical a little bit, Seymour and some of those guys. You're supposed to be a Hall of Fame caliber defensive lineman.
Right.
Or, these great linebackers or whatever. Play football. Yeah. I know. Okay, so you didn't see it on Wednesday. Tackle the guy with the ball. Beat the guy that's trying to block you. And I'm not trying to say they're not going to have success because they caught you a little off guard, but to get caught so utterly with your pants down and
again
just
and
lay
again.
An egg. Right, that's what I mean.
Right.
Just lay an egg is a little...
And you could see that maybe if it lasted the whole first half and then in the second half they adjusted and things calmed down, but it went on that whole game and they never could adjust to it, which was bizarre. Unusual.
I compare it to Denver. Denver caught them off guard and got some productive plays. Patriots called a timeout and they stopped it.
Right.
They didn't shut it down. They didn't shut it down, but they slowed it down enough that it wasn't a major part of the game from that point on. It never stopped in that game in Miami. And that's, all the defensive linemen. Seymour was outspoken about it, but I remember Ty Warren specifically talking about the last time he had seen it was college at A&M. And it is somewhat surprising. I understand that it's a new thing that you weren't prepared for, but at some point, doesn't it just come down to, like you said, Fred, beat the guy who's blocking, tackling, tackle the guy with the ball.
Looking for the ball.
Right.
The only other thing I thought was interesting from that press conference was Bill's reaction to the wedge rule question.
That was kind of funny.
Which somebody brought up about, how the wedge rule has affected
kickoffs.
How do
you think he feels about the wedge rule, Andy?
I don't know. I'm just trying to win a football game against the Dolphins.
He doesn't know how they're calling it.
I don't know how they're calling it.
Oh.
And there was one, I guess, Tampa Bay.
Sammy Strouder.
Sammy Strouder brought one back against Carolina. He said, I don't really know. I don't know how that wasn't a penalty. I don't understand how that wasn't a penalty.
I haven't seen a wedge rule penalty called yet. Have you?
Certainly not in a Patriots game.
Yeah. Well, not in a Patriots game, but, at all.
No, really? I haven't heard anything about it. Apparently, Bill thinks that there should have been at least one, maybe more.
And he also says it's not really a big deal because the wedge teams, if you want to continue to be a wedge team, all you have to do is stagger the guys and you can still have your wedge.
Right.
Just put them a yard apart.
Put them a yard apart and that's really much it. And he acknowledged that for different kickoff return specialists like Ginn, Cribbs, Hester, they practice a little bit. They put a little more emphasis particularly on that guy and his attributes and his style. Which is, kind of interesting, and that they're probably doing a little bit of that this week because, again.
Well, I wonder what they consider his style right now, because I always thought he was more of a speed-based guy, and then the second return was
he said that.
Ridiculous, athletic. It was Hall type pinball, then the speed comes in.
He talked specifically about his two returns, saying the first one he just broke containment, got outside. They didn't do a good job of pinching it down, and they were off to the races. The second one,
ridiculous.
He broke about four tackles on. So it was totally different kinds of plays.
The first one, I think, is more prototypical Ted Ginn.
I agree.
I don't think he's going to have a ton of the second. Did Bill pull out the...
he didn't say Izzo.
We only have, you know, I don't think too many teams have more than one or two guys
oh,
that
yes.
can catch him.
Yes, he did say, I'm not sure that anybody can catch Ted. You're not going to catch Ted Ginn.
I never said that.
You did, Bill.
But the Pat White stuff I thought was interesting, too, when he talked, like, he was asked about, you know, Fred, getting back to the unknown thing and how you go about it. He goes, well, you know, what they're going to do, what they do with Pat White is what Pat White did in college, you know, the dive keep series and throwing the ball off of that. That's what they're going to do with Pat White. So if right. we get more of him than what he's done in the past, it's more of that we're going to see.
Right.
And we have seen it in the regular season, and we've seen it more extensively in the preseason. And don't forget, you know, see, we dismiss the preseason as useless, but for their purposes, it's not, because that's when they see these players and what these players can do.
Right.
So from the coaching perspective, everything counts.
Did you see the stuff out of Miami talking about Pat White and – part of the reason maybe he hasn't evolved into what people thought he was going to be for them is Pennington getting hurt, and that he's a backup quarter. He's kind of moved up the ladder one spot, so he's less of a gimmicky slash player now and more of a backup quarterback.
So that is
kind of affecting his practice time.
I was going to say that, yeah.
But I agree with Paul. It's kind of who he is. I mean, I think he's far more capable of not practicing wildcat plays and being brought on the field in that role than he is of practicing all week to be a drop-back passer and coming on the field in that role. I mean, he's in his heart, he's a athletic, running quarterback out of that system at West Virginia.
All right. Web radio. Yes?
No, I was just going to say, while we're on it, there were some quotes and some comments late in the day yesterday that, you know, we could talk about with the Joey Porter.
Oh, yeah, we got to get to that.
References, not so subtly, to Spygate.
Yeah.
As he's done all along. He's he's maintained the same.
Still, yeah.
He still thinks they lost both AFC title games because of Spygate.
Right.
But I also thought, it's going to be my quote of the week in the paper, did you see Jason Taylor talking about Jets fans and ripping that place, and said, some Jets fans take the CL out of class.
And, wow, I love it.
He ripped the team for continuing to talk, and at some point, we beat you twice, shut up and go home.
Right.
He also said,
oh my God, that is funny.
How much it meant for him to score in the hellhole that is Giants Stadium before they move into the new place.
Wow.
So he, I thought, a little bit uncharacteristic with some pretty inflammatory comments.
I guess the Jets bring the best out of you, huh?
Bart well, Scott. He was clearly mad about the talking continuing, we beat you.
Right.
Shut up. Go home.
Right. You know, if there's one team that Rodney Harrison would do well on this year, it's the Miami Dolphins, because they're not getting a lot of respect. And they won the AFC East last year. What are they, 4-0 now in the conference?
3-0
in the division?
Yeah.
You know, so they're the team really not getting respect in the AFC East. And, you know.
That's why this is a huge game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if they split with the Patriots, let's just say they split, that means they're probably going to go 5-1 in the division. No one else could go 5-1 in the division.
Right.
So all they would have to do is tie
right.
to win again.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that they're as good as the Patriots. I don't think this is going to be an issue
but it
eight or 9 weeks down the road. But it's an issue today.
That's right.
In week 9,
you don't
it's
have
an issue.
To be better.
Rex Ryan thought his team was better
right.
while losing.
Exactly.
You have to take care of the
right.
business.
And all of a sudden, you find a way to lose one of those games where you probably were the better team the way the Jets lost. And you kind of made life a little bit more difficult for yourself as you enter this difficult portion of the schedule.
I know the focus is on the Wildcat, but what I am focusing on is what are the, you know, Miami Dolphins going to do defensively to disrupt Tom Brady? That's what I'm afraid of. You know, where Brady's going to have one of those games where he just...
One thing only you have to worry about, Andy's been banging at home all week. If you can contain the pass rush,
right.
keep Jason Taylor from doing what he's done. Now, it's not easy because he's done it periodically as a Miami Dolphin. He's taken over the game mm-hmm. three or four times. against the Patriots.
Much to Paul's surprise.
Well, yeah, there was one time it came out of nowhere. I thought he was the most
Paul was appalled.
No, that 21-0 game down there. Do you remember what he did in that day? Yeah. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Couldn't get anything going.
And from all
and
over the field.
All right. Because of him.
Yeah.
They moved him around, and it was like they didn't find him every time
and
they moved him.
That's what they're doing with him this year. They're moving him all over the place.
Bill said they're using him exactly the way they used him then.
But I add in Parcells because, you know, Parcells knows a little bit about defense, too. And he knows a little bit about
it's one of my homeboys.
You know, getting into quarterbacks' heads and all that. So he's the factor too. You know, he comes up with creative things from time to time. You know, let's not forget the Wildcat was introduced last year. Parcells was part of that. You know, he probably signed off on that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, but by all accounts, it was David Lee, the quarterbacks coach, came up with it.
But, you know, I'm sure they're going to have something up their sleeve defensively.
But that's the
that
point.
Brady's going to have to deal with.
They need to.
Yes, they
They're
do.
Not as good.
You know? Brady.
So that's, to me, the bigger challenge than this Wildcat thing. Anyway.
See, I think it's going to be.
Web Brady with
rookie corners, watch out.
Well,
hey, yeah, Fred. No, but I think Fred's right. I think I the bigger issue will be how they stop the pass rush and how they stop the Wildcat.
See, I think there's a better chance that the Wildcat succeeds, then I don't think the
But what does succeed mean? If they score 28 points, so what? The Patriots should be scoring 35-40 against this team.
If the Wildcat leads to 28 points, then you get caught with your pants down again.
And it's hard to score 40.
But you can still win.
No, you can, but it's going to be hard to score 40 if the Wildcat scores 28.
Just because you maximized your 18
minutes. You could score when you get the ball.
But you couldn't play any better offensively than Indianapolis did that night. They scored 27 points.
Yeah.
They scored in 30 seconds every time they had the ball.
Right.
But they only ended up with 27 at the end because the other team had the ball for 45 minutes.
I just think it's the perfect matchup where you can sell out to stop Taylor and Porter in the front with backs and tight ends, and they can't sell out to get pressure on you because they don't want to make those corners any more susceptible, and all of a sudden maybe you have matchups with Moss on Vontae Davis, and I'll take that. So I think the matchup, while theoretically, yes, they have great playmakers in the pass rush that could be disruptive, I think you can scheme to stop them more than they can scheme to stop you.
All right, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Andrew from East Bridgewater. Andrew, how you doing? Andrew. Why do you do that? You just held up the sign that he's on the phone. He's not there.
He was there a second ago.
You should check.
We did.
You just held up the sign.
Can you fix the clock? I can't see the clock.
You just held up the sign.
You did just hold up the sign.
I did hold up the sign, and he was there. Well, he's been on hold for 20 minutes.
Well, you shouldn't call when the show starts.
The show is 27 minutes
old. I said you're going to be on hold for a little while, and he goes, that's fine. And we checked back with him a few minutes ago, and
then he was
gone.
Andrew, he'll call back. You sure it's not a case of like the guy yesterday who couldn't hear us on hold and you screwed something up?
Yeah.
That was actually Tuesday.
Or Tuesday.
So... But as I heard on a different...
That makes it a totally different...
That's like my son.
That's right.
That's like my son. Well, how come you didn't do your math homework? Well, I did my math. I didn't do my English homework. So what?
You know what it is?
Why didn't you do your homework?
That's classic Fred face right
there. It's the American legal system.
You know what?
Because a comma was missing, the guy gets off. Not because he didn't kill the person, but that was screwed up in the paperwork.
As I heard on Real Radio yesterday, it's never the operator's fault.
Real Radio.
Always the equipment.
Real Radio.
You heard that yesterday, didn't you?
I did hear that.
Thank you.
Yesterday. Not necessarily.
Now, wait a minute. Doc, you're leaving?
I'm leaving.
Thank
God. Taking over?
This is Andy, the intern, behind me.
Andy, you didn't make it 5 minutes before Big Head made fun of you, just so you know. You probably didn't hear it, but he was making fun of you.
Our listeners want to know who Andy is. Where does he hail from? What are his aspirations?
What
does he hail from? God Almighty.
Go ahead, Andy. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, hurry up. Dead air here.
I'm Andy. I'm from Northeastern University.
Oh, hey! Oh, my God.
But he, too.
You're fired.
Absolutely.
And you were a communications major at Northeastern?
Yeah, doing sports broadcasting.
Wow.
Little RBB?
Absolutely. Actually, tomorrow, women's soccer and Saturday, football.
Nice.
Got a lot going on this
weekend. Women's soccer CAA tournament action.
So now, Paul,
at Northeastern is the number one seed.
Are you going to tell me that you don't know who Andy is? That you don't know who he is?
I'm sorry. Do I have to know? First of all, I didn't go to Northeastern. I have to know everybody that went there.
Well, come on.
Doesn't he broadcast the games? Didn't he just say football?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never saw them. Do you have a video broadcast of the games?
No, but you don't know.
Besides the fact that you know my relationship with the football team.
Wait, you've never listened to a broadcast?
Do you know the answer to that this year? Have I listened to any Northeastern football games?
We've been on the bus.
No, you download it afterwards. And you
download
to
the podcast now.
Listens to the 59 to nothing losses.
You lying your ass off.
No, so you with Bubs?
Absolutely.
All right. So I know who he is.
Little Keith.
All right. So you're here.
Inside Northeastern.
Northeastern.
Yeah.
Where do you live? Where do you come from?
He's still at
New Hampshire,
right?
Yeah,
New Hampshire.
Live on campus from New Hampshire.
Whereabouts in New Hampshire?
Near Manchester.
Okay.
Litchfield. Nobody's probably ever heard of it.
Nope.
I've heard of it.
Have you really?
Get off your knees.
He can tell you what division in college they're in. Yeah.
So what are your aspirations? We haven't gotten to that one yet.
Sports broadcasting.
Jim Nance?
Football or baseball on air.
You have a good voice. Give us a call.
Like a football call?
Yeah, give us a call.
Tom Brady drops back to pass, looks for Randy Moss deep down the right side of the field. He throws it, and Randy Moss inside the end zone for a touchdown.
Okay, all right.
See,
okay.
In Andy's defense, he doesn't get a lot of practice at that doing Northeastern football.
Right, right.
So that was kind of raw, right?
Right.
He doesn't really get an opportunity to call touchdowns.
No, not at all.
Can I make a suggestion?
No.
A lot of young guys in football, especially, you know, when big plays happen.
He may as well be making fun of Mita Perel.
Their voice tends to go high. So one, you want to make sure you don't go high. But the other side of it, a lot of guys compensate that by going like this. You don't want to do that either. Okay.
Okay.
So just be yourself. Is basic.
Unless yourself goes high, then don't be yourself. Right.
Oh, man. He's giving the poor kid
as a budding broadcaster
advice.
Are you in any way against saying something like he hits the open field and he's got run away from the cop speed? Is that inappropriate?
I wouldn't say so.
He's running like he
depends
stole
how
something.
Fast he is.
Did you see that?
No,
that
Gus
actually
Johnson
happened. Gus Johnson said that about Chris Johnson.
Oh yeah,
and I guess he's
now he's in trouble.
Coming
well,
under some
I don't
heat.
Know if he's. In trouble. He issued an apology.
I
saying,
really don't think there's anything that's all that wrong with that. I know that you're not surprised to hear me because I never are offended by those comments, but.
Well, you shouldn't
I'm
be.
I'm not either, personally.
You shouldn't be offended by those kind of things.
You know, it's.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
He's running away from the cops.
Andrew was on the phone.
His
he's not on the phone
was,
anymore.
Everyone runs from the cops. Whites, blacks, Italians.
It's not limited to a race.
Now, Andy, do you know how to take a break?
I do.
Okay, we're going to do that right now. We'll be right back.
Well, it's that time of year, nice. Where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! That'll be a Terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We're in the capable hands of Andy from Northeastern. So I'm just going to call you Husky from now on, okay? Is that all right? Okay, you got to turn your mic on when you talk.
It's perfectly fine. Right.
Good, good.
That Northeastern education guy.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
He's an intern at Northeastern. He's in the same spot you are as a graduate of BU.
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
That's what we like to hear, Andy.
That's right. So, me, Tufts. I'm wasting it.
I'm a two-time loser. I went to both. I have affiliations to both schools.
Now, yesterday we got into a whole discussion about rugby and the athletes that play rugby.
And you were wrong.
The athletes that play NFL.
Why don't you skip the rugby and get to the phone?
Well, I just wanted to say we got a lot of emails, so hopefully we'll get
trashing
lot,
you.
Get to lot, some lot of emails.
Ripping your idiocy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As an ignorant American.
It seems like I missed a good one, huh?
I guess my my contention was that because we were talking about why don't they have use the rugby techniques because they seem to be such good tacklers in rugby, which is true. And what I said, Paul, was yeah, but I'd like to see that same technique trying to tackle elite speed wide receivers and running backs in the NFL. It may not be that easy, And then that got into the whole thing.
No, that's listen. You talk about the top end, you know, Chris Johnson in the open field. I don't care if you're using great technique or the worst technique. That's a hard tackle to make
in
space.
It's easier to make it by trying to tackle him than it is trying to hit him perfectly squarely.
True.
Right.
True.
And that's, I think, ultimately where
But I don't think these rugby players would have any better luck than Brandon Merriweather.
It's just very different.
Yeah. Probably worse luck.
There's not a ton of open field in rugby. There's like a million of them stretched out in a line moving down the field.
Yeah,
right.
And
how that's another thing.
But we get down to the base of it is you don't think they're athletes. You don't think they can compete at an NFL level.
This is Andy again.
You said they couldn't compete.
I said that the best NFL athletes, in those positions, wide receiver, running back, defensive backfield, are faster than the rugby players.
What you said was the average rugby player isn't as fast as an
NFL
corner.
Defensive back.
Yeah.
You're putting an average guy against the best, fastest guy in the NFL.
I would agree with that.
You need to put an average guy versus an average guy.
I don't think defensive backs are the average NFL speed.
No.
No, but those are the guys we're talking about. We were talking about missing tackles and why aren't they. That's what I'm saying. Brandon Merriweather has a better chance of catching Percy Harvin than than one of the best rugby players.
But the best rugby player.
I'm not so sure. I think there are fast rugby players.
I'll give you that.
Oh, there are some.
I'll give you that.
But Brandon Merriweather is average secondary speed in the NFL.
I don't know about speed, but he's an average secondary player.
Yeah.
He's an average defensive back in the NFL.
The average rugby player would have a better chance of tackling Percy Harvin than Brandon Merriweather would.
I disagree with that. Because they don't have
the average
speed.
Armchair would have a better chance of tackling.
But we're not always
talking about speed.
We're not talking about chasing the guy down. We're talking about tackling
coming
a guy.
Up into the box and making a tackle.
The tackles that we lament that get missed
don't
have anything
tackles.
To do with speed.
But I think
they're in front of
them.
But I think
most of them are in the open field.
I disagree.
They're in front of them.
I think they're one-on-one where he bounces off.
Well, if he's not, that's not, has nothing to do with open field then if he's just bouncing off.
It's not gang tackling.
No. Listen, one-on-one is not necessarily open field. One-on-one is you could have a sucker shot at the guy. He doesn't even know you're coming. Case in point, the one we bring up all the time. Overtime last year against the Jets.
All right.
Dustin Keller with his back to him bounced off of him.
Okay.
Well. That's the ones that we say, tackling has really gone down.
A rugby player is not going to miss that tackle.
Right. So the little island of Ireland is producing as good of athletes as the whole.
It's not just Ireland.
Oh, wait. So they only play rugby at Ireland?
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, it is. He's decided that's what we're doing.
Yeah. You just made fun of Andy, and you just did the same thing. You made fun of Andy for his exaggerations, and you did the same.
All right, web radio.
I'm really disappointed. I'm disappointed in Fred right now.
508-543-7482. On the phone is John in Dallas. John, how you doing? John.
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. Thought we lost another one.
No, you didn't lose me this time. But I was the guy who called in on Tuesday who got silence when they put me on hold.
Oh, we'll see you next Tuesday.
But I keep trying. So, couple of things. Did you know Brandon McGowan is actually second on the team in tackles this year?
I actually thought he was first.
Brandon Merriweather.
Merriweather's first.
Oh, I thought McGowan was
the guy
first.
That you guys were criticizing on his tackling technique.
No, like, not McGowan.
No, it's Merriweather. No, Merriweather
is the one that we're criticizing. He's a terrible tackler, by the way, to his own admission.
Right.
Right, but he's second on the team in tackles right now.
No, Merriweather's first.
Or first.
Yes.
No, McGowan's first. Merriweather's second, isn't he?
Okay.
Not according to the PR
Merriweather
department,
is first.
Well, either way, Merriweather himself thinks he needs to improve greatly on his tackling. So the fact that we're making fun of his tackling shouldn't really be a news bulletin.
And it's not a numbers thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
it's
misses
like
a lot of tackles.
Ben Watson caught 47 passes a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but 80 were thrown to him. He dropped 40.
Paris Lennon led the Lions in tackles last year.
Well, but we don't know if he misses
tackles. And you also get tackles a lot on plays that you kind of miss the tackle, or the guy ends up squirting forward 4 yards after you hit him, which constantly happens with Merriweather.
You know, it would be interesting because we're going by, I think, the NFL.
No.
We're going by the coaches' tape.
The PR department.
They put out the
stats
coaches.
Are the coaches.
Okay.
So it's coaches'
which
tape.
Which are always inflated more than the
but
league.
But McGowan, I think, is an excellent tackler, even though their numbers may be comparable. I think Brandon McGowan, generally, the guy stops wherever McGowan hits him. I think he's a very good tackler.
Just think how many more tackles Merriweather would have if he were tackling properly.
Right.
It'd be a runaway.
Yeah.
So you guys were talking earlier about how to contain the Wildcat, right? Well, when we played the Dolphins the first game last year, where they basically exploited us through the Wildcat, what were we playing at the time? Were we playing? We were playing more 3-4.
That's correct.
Okay? Yep.
So do you see? I mean, I don't know. Is there any advantage of playing the Wildcat on a 4-3 or a 5-something rather than a 3-4?
I don't think so. It's all read and recognition.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but they played 3-4 in the second game as well, and they held it to 1 yard.
And you also have to, I mean, we're talking about their 4-3-3-4, which are kind of the same because Tully Bantakane is
the same people,
the end or the linebacker. He's the same body. It's not like you have, you know, one 300-pound end or one 260-pound linebacker. It's kind of the same people.
Yeah. It's an interesting thought, though, John, because you wonder if maybe getting more bodies up around the line of scrimmage just from a pure volume standpoint, maybe if that helps you rather than having your outside linebackers off a little. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I would think,
you know, and it didn't show up in that first game last year, but having a guy like Vince Wilfork against the Wildcat would help because his job is just to eat up space. It's a, you know, zero tick, so he's got both sides of the guy that's blocking him. That, to me, is beneficial against the Wildcat because
at least you've got that middle cover. Those ones, because Ronnie Brown does just run right up the middle.
He goes right up the
middle
of
the guards.
Yeah. When it's at its best, when that formation is at its best, Brown
theoretically, Vince Wilfork is stopping a lot of those.
Right.
Through the A-gap. He's going right up the middle a lot when it's at its best.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a, I mean, Miami has a huge offensive line.
It's a pretty good one, too. It doesn't have a lot of big names other than Jake Long.
But its size is like 325, 330.
Yeah, and Jake Grove, they picked up as their center this year, and I think he's improved them a little bit, too.
I liked him.
Yeah, you did like him, Andy. They've run the ball pretty well. They're averaging like 140 yards a game on the ground, something like that.
And that's the thing.
That's a lot of yards.
Whether or not you're doing it out of the Wildcat.
150?
152,
you know,
I think.
Whether or not you're doing it out of the Wildcat or with Chad Henne under center, they're a good running team. They have two good running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need necessarily the Wildcat to run.
Well, that's what I would say. You have a big, powerful offensive line and two good running backs.
I gotta be
generally,
honest,
you're going to run the ball well.
If I were the Dolphins, I would come out this week, and I wouldn't have any Wildcat at all early in the game. And it wouldn't be kind of outsmarting myself or anything, but I got to operate under the assumption that Belichick will be ready for that. So rather than have that be a huge part of my game plan, I want to try to hit them a little bit differently. I would run the ball a little bit more out of conventional sets and then try to – I would do a lot of first down passing.
Yeah,
and
I'd
open it up. Not down the field passing, but, you know, the play action dump off to the flat for the fullback for 6 yards you know, or whoever they use. They use the tight ends a lot, and you know that Hanos and, yep. and Fasano. Just stuff to set me up in second and three, second and four, where I can do whatever I want now in the next play. I want to, at all costs, avoid the long yardage
right.
because that's where my young quarterback is going to get suffocated by Bill Belichick.
Right.
And I think the best way to do that is to avoid the negative plays on first down. And I think if you run Wildcat on first down, they're going to shut it down. I think the Patriots have proven the second time last year. They know how to stop it now, and they'll stop it.
And Parcells, not that he's the offensive coordinator, but he does like going to his tight end.
Oh, he loves tight ends.
You know?
And even though Fasano hasn't had a good – Fasano's had a terrible year for them.
Yeah.
He's dropped a lot of passes, and he's fumbled a lot. He's had a very Benjamin Watson-like year.
You mentioned that Hanos kid. He's been having a lot more –
Yeah, he caught the touchdown last week.
He did catch the touchdown last week.
You know, so
hey, question, when we were shutting down the Wildcat in game two – Actually, if you compare game one last year to game two, right?
Yeah.
When we were shutting it down, I mean, who was leading the defense, or what position was leading the defense?
It was Will Fork.
Yeah, I think Fred's right with that. I think Will Fork
shut it down.
I think Will Fork was instrumental in that. What do you think, Andy?
So the defensive line.
Even though we were way down the other end, it seemed like the whole game.
Yeah.
Remember how that game was? That everything was
on the
far end zone?
I just generally think when they stop the run, Will Fork is instrumental in it. That's why he's so important.
And I don't think I've ever seen him play consistently better than he's played this year.
Right.
I think he's been their best player.
Well, we've had a lot of teams run on us this year, right? The thing is that like the four top positions.
I don't think we've had a lot of teams run on us this year.
Right, but the four top tacklers on defense are all secondary players.
Yeah, but that I think that's a
that could be because we've been stopping the run and they've been having to pass.
That's a specious argument, though. I think.
Yeah.
I know it could go either way. I guess.
Yeah.
But the I don't know if there's any cause
amongst
for concern
other
that the secondary is leading tackling, or is just kind of more.
Yeah, normally you're right, Sean. You don't like seeing your top tacklers be your secondary guys.
I think it's a sign that Fred said that teams haven't really run the ball and they've thrown it a lot.
That's exactly.
You know, it's
right.
like the Broncos game where Kyle Orton completed what. Like 20, almost 30, 30 passes or something.
Yeah, those are all secondary
tackles. Those all require a secondary member to make the tackle.
Right.
Plus, you have Mayo miss time. Thomas is a situational player. Woods is a situational player. Banta Kane is a situation. They don't have a lot of guys up front who are on the field as much as Merriweather and McGowan, who play virtually every snap.
Guyton is the only one in the front seven who's an every down player.
But I don't think he's at his best trying to tackle in the running game.
Warren, Wright, Green, all of those guys are not every down players. Plus, the way they play, it's not necessarily conducive to them piling up a lot of tackles.
Right. Even so the most consistent guys are the two safeties who've been out there all year and in the box, especially McGowan.
What's a great game for Vince Wilfork? Five tackles?
Yeah.
They're not going to really pile up.
I think the key to obviously it's probably no surprise, but I think the key this week is going to be McGowan.
Yeah. No, it could be. I mean, but you look at the teams that have, those middle linebackers that are in every down, they usually have like 15, 16, 17 tackles a game. They end the season with 150, to 200 tackles.
But they're also 4-3 teams
but
that
because
are expecting
the Patriots
guy
have
run
been switching up so much in the linebacker, guys just haven't been able to pile up those types of
tackles. Well, I think Mayo would have had a better chance had he not missed
two and a half. So many games.
And I'd like to know, too, in talking to Bill, they've used consistently 16, 17, 18 guys on defense, like regularly. I'm not talking about, they were up 59-0 and a couple of guys went out there.
No, they substitute.
They've consistently used 4, 5, 6, 7 extra guys every week on defense, and I wonder how many more than normal they've used this year.
It's more.
No, I know. That's why I wonder how many more
than
normal.
When you have 17 defensive players, it means you don't have 11. Kind of like the old backup quarterback thing. They don't have 11 players to line up and play football.
Another good Andyism.
Right?
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Wouldn't they be playing 11 if their 11 best were
that
great?
Good? Well,
I mean,
that's one way of looking at it.
He doesn't substitute for the sake of substitute.
I work for the Patriots, so I like to look at it as, they have so many guys that can play, they find ways to get
them on
the field.
That might have been true, but
that's what I do.
It is such a passing league now.
Everything Patriots, Paul.
Your third cornerback is really a starter.
I didn't say how the 11 had to come together. I'm just saying you would have all the same players playing if you had guys with diverse, game-changing skills, great
players.
But that
doesn't happen anymore in the NFL, I don't think. I don't think you got
– I don't know about
that. Lately,
you've been seeing the third safety in the nickel package more often.
Yeah,
that's why
I think
going to see the 3-3-5 a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think that's what John's point about McGowan, I think, is right on, because I think he has been a very important guy in what they've tried to do on defense. I think Bill probably felt like we have some young guys who are going to be faster getting the ball, but it's going to take some time. I think McGowan's insertion into the lineup has quickened that learning curve a little bit.
Absolutely.
Could we see you know, maybe because of the need to contain, well, the need for speed to contain the Wildcat, could we see a four safety set with James Sanders making his way on the field?
Four safeties? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I would doubt it, too.
Yeah, I mean, Sanders will play, but I think it'll be more in terms of passing than running. For, you know, to stop the Wildcat, I think you want bulk more than speed.
So I assume we're going six DBs, or is that in place of corners? Or
yeah, wouldn't you have to take a linebacker to take off a linebacker get Sanders out there?
Or go with two down linemen?
I think you need the bulk up front to stop that big offensive, big physical pound. I mean, Bill talked about the two running backs. Brown and Williams are powerful running backs as there are in the league, so I think you need bulk. What do you think, Freddie?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
Well, you need bulk up front, and then you need the fast line, you know. So,
but four safeties? I don't think you'll see four safeties in at once. They only have four safeties anyway, really.
I think it's power. This week it's about strapping on the helmet and
certainly
matching
that's
their physicality.
What Bill has said. You know, this is the type of team they are. Big, up front, you know, powerful running backs. That's the type of team they are.
There's no frills. I mean, they run gadget plays. And I understand what Bill's talking about with the gadget plays, but that's just like when the Patriots ran a flea flicker. You know, that's a gadget play. But I think stopping the Patriots' offense isn't really about matching power. It's about having the ability to get after Brady and cover.
Yeah.
Well, stopping Miami is having the ability to just smash mouth at the line of scrimmage and win that battle at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Hey, so just on end the call on a rugby note here.
Nice.
You guys were talking about could a rugby player bring down an NFL running back or a receiver, possibly, right?
Right.
So generally speaking, the average rugby player is not built the same way as an NFL player, right? Most of their strength is in their lower body, where you see a lot of NFL strength kind of
upper body,
depending upon the position. But I think it's better distributed, right? You've got a lot of guys that have got some serious upper body strength, but the rugby players tend to have larger legs, and usually they're a little more squat in terms of their composition. You know, I mean, you see a lot of guys around 5'8", 5'10", 6 foot that are like 220. As you make your way back, you know, you'll see guys that are, you know, 6'4", 6'6", but those guys are typically lean guys. They're like 210, 215, 220. So I agree with you guys. I don't think you put a rugby player against an NFL back, Ricky Williams or Ronnie Brown, I don't see them bringing them down. I just don't.
So you agree with Fred, not with Andy and me.
Not with Locke.
I agree with Fred.
As long as you're comfortable with that alliance.
I don't know enough about the composition of a rugby player.
You guys talk about rugby technique. Well, I'm interested to know what you meant by that.
See, in rugby technique,
square your shoulders,
more tackling.
Use your arms. Wrap up.
Rugby technique is what football used to be before they had the pads and the helmets. You know,
like the princess said, you give people equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, tackle midsection,
but
wrap up.
If you tried to tackle in rugby the way they do in the NFL, you'd dislocate your shoulder every game.
Yeah, and you would never make a tackle.
Right. You would.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, John.
All right, John. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's get to some email, shall we?
One quick question before we do. Is George Steinbrenner dead or alive?
He's alive, but he's clinging.
He's I just drew a blank. They just showed Hank, and I was like, "Son of a bitch, is George?"
Well, he's not.
He's not
well.
He's not with us.
Physically,
mentally.
He's okay, but mentally, he's not.
Right.
But he also has a bad knee. He can't walk that well.
I don't know. Yeah.
They kept referencing him last night in the post game.
Yeah.
You know, this one's for George and Dad.
This
one, we know you're listening
for George,
and he's in Tampa watching. Who's this George guy they keep talking about on this telecast?
That's nice.
Sawyer from Waterloo writes in.
Hey, Grammy Hart is the same way. I mean, God bless her. It happens when you get older.
Hey guys, in the sweater. By the way, a crew neck navy blue sweater today.
That's not cashmere.
No, this isn't. No. This is like
a wool blend.
Wool blend, probably.
Yeah.
I think I like wool.
That's run of the mill.
Sorry, Paul. Didn't meet your standards of haberdashery.
It's not up to Fred's standards.
I don't wear sweaters.
I don't really care what you wear. Fred evidently does.
Fox Radio was talking about clutch performers yesterday, and Derek Deese, a former NFLer that I never agree with, was asked, with the Super Bowl on the line and you have Favre and Brady on your bench, who would you take?
Oh, Brady.
And that moron pick Favre. Oh, apparently, God. He likes to watch his QB throw interceptions.
If it was 1997, I would take Favre, but it's not. That's not even worth
Brady
discussing.
Brady was at Michigan and he didn't even have a job.
I know this probably won't be read on air since this email-driven show doesn't read emails on the show. And I can't send it in during the show. I told my boss that I would need to be by the computer from 11 to 1 Tuesday through Thursday from now on. He said something about getting my ass back in the dump truck and get the coal to the power plant or there will be blackouts. We argued for a while. I tried to tell him that Fred wouldn't read my emails unless I made the time to listen live. He argued that the show's popularity probably didn't explode until it went to podcasts and the people that listen to the podcast should boycott for a month and see where the show goes.
Yeah,
we
don't,
kept
please.
Going till we both said right. And I went back to work. Very good, Sawyer.
That's excellent.
What do you got there, Andy, from Northeastern? Kevin from Reading is on the phone. Kevin, how
but
you
not
doing?
Not Kevin Reading.
No.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, oh, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. So 97-5 over Brady, just 5 and 97. No. Brady, you know, Brady 2005, 2006. You would take Favre for that last drive.
I said my point would be you would have a discussion if you're talking about Favre winning three straight MVPs in the prime of his career as opposed to Brady. But right now, it's not even worth talking about. Anybody that would take Brett Favre over Brady is a moron right
okay.
now. That's all.
All right.
Yeah, if you're asking me Favre 97 as compared to Brady 04, yeah, I mean, I think that's a toss-up. And Favre won a lot of games in dramatic fashion at the height of his career.
I'd also like to know the specifics of the situation.
Yeah. Do I need a touchdown or a field goal?
Right. And
because if I need a field goal, I'll take Brady. If I need a touchdown, I'll take Favre.
And if I need kind of a seat-of-my-pants type play, it's Favre. If I need a drive where I have some timeouts and I can work it, then I might want Brady. So
exactly.
Okay.
The more desperate the situation, the more apt I would to take Favre because
Super
he could
Bowl,
make a play.
Super Bowl 42. Would you want
Favre?
Me too.
Fair enough. Last time I called to talk to you guys was right after the Jets, and everybody was in a bit of panic. And since then, I really like the way the defense has come along. And you guys talked about the injuries, and we haven't lost anybody for the year. And if it's a situation where come the second, third week in December, and you're going to get Sammy Morris back, and you're going to get Taylor back, and you're going to get some of these guys start coming back, and they can survive the next 4 weeks. The next 4 weeks they have the through the Dolphins to the Jets game, a pretty tough games. And if maybe they can, you know, best case scenario they go 4-0. Second best is you think they can go 3-1. You know, I think I really like their position as possible getting a second seed for the playoffs and, you know, maybe making that playoff run. What do you guys think?
I agree with all of it.
Yeah, I agree all around.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think key game is that Colts game. They got to win that game. Paul, you were talking about on the radio. Every time the winner of that game always gets the seed or gets the home game.
But I agree with Kevin, though. I mean, I think if you get the two, you'd have to go on the road for the championship game, but the two is important because you avoid that extra game.
Yeah, sure.
Unless the Colts lost in the earlier round.
Well, I'm saying if
they held serve.
If seeds hold, you know, I agree with Kevin. Two is okay. There's nothing wrong. As long as you get that bye, because I think what really did the Patriots in when they had to go to Indy wasn't so much the road as it was the extra game and the fatigue that hit it, in Indy. It wasn't playing in Indy as much as it was the fatigue from having played the extra game in San Diego. You know, the Colts played the extra game, too, but they weren't on the road for the extra game the way the Patriots were. So I think that kind of played into it a little bit.
The other thing, too, the thing that's going to, you know, the thing that's really going to hurt them is the AFC losses and their loss to Denver. Because now you look at a situation where with the AFC losses, they hurt themselves for any tiebreakers. Because I think one of the first tiebreakers is in the conference losses.
Yeah, you're right.
And then the first tiebreaker is any head-to-head. So I think it's important for it would be super important to win that Indianapolis game if you can, because then if say a Houston trips off Indy, then, you know, if the if they run the table, then they're in a real good position to, you know, if they run the table and they can beat, I think they're guaranteed a one or two. Even though Denver and in Indianapolis is ahead of them in terms of no loss, one loss and zero loss.
So you think Denver's on track for a slide?
Not when you say it backwards slides. I don't think they're going to fall apart. But yeah, I think they got another maybe three losses.
I'm with Kevin. I don't see a slide, but I don't see them finishing 15-1 or 14-2 either.
They're a good team, and I think they could be dangerous in the playoffs. But do I think they were 14-2, 15-1? No.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that they'll probably lose a couple more games. Probably 11-5, 12-4.
They'll probably lose the Colts game in Indy.
If they finished, so let's just say they finished 12-4. That might be good enough to edge out the Patriots for a seed,
right,
because
of the head-on-head.
Because of the head-on-head, the Patriots could finish 12-4 as well.
Right.
And I think that's Kevin's point. I don't see Denver running the table. I know Andy doesn't, because Andy doesn't even think they're going to finish 500.
Oh, I think they're going to be 500.
Tuesday, you said
they might be near 500.
Okay.
One of the
might fall off. I mean, a serious fall.
Yeah. Well,
people now are saying 15-1, 14-2.
No,
I think they're going to be
closer to 500.
No, we
just said I don't see them 15-1
or 14-2.
No, but my
point, I think they're going to be closer to 500.
I don't see them any less than 10-6. I don't see how they finish less than 10-6.
That's probably 10-6 is probably about right.
One other point, because I'm heading into a tunnel right now, and I'll probably lose you. I just want to switch quickly to the local media. You know, when we had this new sports station come up, I was excited because it was going to give us an alternative to EEI. But who are the geniuses over there that figured that, Tangway and Felger, who I don't mind in short doses, we needed to saturate them even more on the market with having a Comcast show and have them on all day. I'm just frustrated because I want to listen to good football talk. I think Andy, Paul, and Eric and Fred, I think if they gave you a show, I think more people would like that.
I agree.
Kevin?
No, but I seriously
agree
with him.
I don't think you
could
have said it any better, my friend.
No, as much as we'd love to have shows, I agree with him on the Felger-Tangway thing because I don't watch Mohegan Sun hardly at all, but every time I ever have, I heard the exact same stuff I heard a couple hours earlier while driving home from work from Felger.
Thank you.
It's always
Thank
the
you.
Same crap.
There's only so much
right.
you can talk you. About in a day.
Right.
I agree.
Like if we had a show, I'm sure you'd hear plenty of what we say on this show, on that show, but not
well,
enough people listen to this.
You guys are way more entertaining.
I agree.
I don't think you guys take yourself too serious.
Well,
that's for sure.
That's certain. And some of those people in the real media do.
That's absolutely
exactly.
for certain, because if we cared that much about those kinds of things, we wouldn't say half the things that we come up with on this show.
You know, I heard Tangway a couple of weeks ago when Brady was on the Patriots pregame show, which, I listen to.
It's a good show.
Patriots Network, I'm on the bandwagon. He was making a big deal about Brady being the assistant player rep and how that could possibly spell his end in New England. And he was going on and on about it. I'm like, he's, I don't know, more PFW.
I agree.
Right. Once again,
we're going to end on that because you couldn't say it any better.
Write your congressman and all the station managers in New England.
I want to nominate Kevin for PFW in Progress Fan of the Year.
There you go.
Write the geniuses at the hub.
Right.
The all geniuses right. at the hub really should give Paul and Andy a show.
Right. Thanks, guy. I got to
go. Okay, Kevin, thank you for calling in. Hey, today's lunch was made possible by Basil.
Who still doesn't get
it?
His paper.
So thank you very much, Basil. And he
Basil's still having a hard time with the delivery, huh?
I hear Carol twice a week. Hey, Basil.
Hey, what's up?
He writes in, I hope you enjoy your lunch today. Hopefully it gets there in time. It did. Actually, you're a little early.
Tremendous.
Nice.
Today's
perfect.
Calzone was perfectly done. No, the right amount of cheese.
Calzone.
I really look forward every day till I can listen to the next show. I just want to make a brief comment and then get your thoughts on it and then a question after that. Although Miami plays tough and it won't be an easy game for the Pats, I wish we were playing Indy or New Orleans now. With these two blowouts against two scrub teams, we had the bye week to recover from any lingering injuries. I'd really like to test the Pats now to see what kind of team we really have this year. My question is, why were you guys so excited when it was announced that CBS was keeping the Jets game? I was really hoping the game would go to prime time. If it did, I would have the chance to either attend or at least watch live. I work every Sunday. Primetime games are nationally televised. They must be better for the Pats, right?
Well, we're the exact opposite of you. It would ruin our work day.
Exactly. We want to work, we're old, and we want to work early in the day and go home at night.
Night games are no fun for PFW.
For the organization,
night games are tough, period.
Night games are tough for us, but for the organization, you're right. Primetime is better. It's better marketing. It's better for your brand to be nationally televised. But we don't like it because...
We got to stay up late.
Yeah.
I know we're a week ahead of ourselves, but Basil was talking about the big game for the Colts. Did you happen to see they lost a linebacker yesterday?
Yes.
Tawan Hagler out for the year, ruptured bicep. So another
interesting.
Another
add him
season.
To the list.
Oh, yeah. Ruptured biceps. Those are very...
Torn oblique.
By the way, Sanders has...
oblique. Yeah.
Bob Sanders just got back. He's got another injury.
Well, he's always hurt.
He's always hurt.
Hurt his elbow. So...
They should list him on the healthy report.
Louis from Tampa.
Stars flashing. Healthy this week. Healthy this week.
Louis from Tampa says, hello, bitches, Louis. And V-neck wearing gents.
No, crew neck.
No, it's
crew. Now that both Peyton Manning and Alex Rodriguez have won championships, who holds the throne as the biggest choker in sports?
That's good.
Excellent. Excellent.
Ryan Howard?
Except for
he won last year.
I don't know.
Poor Ryan Howard had one bad series.
He was
great in the postseason last year. He was great in the postseason this year until the World Series.
Where does Dan Marino rank in that conversation? I mean, many people hold him back because of his lack of championships, but the guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I was thinking current player, though.
Dan Marino is one of those guys.
He's,
in terms of one of the better players ever not to win. I mean, Jim Kelly.
Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah,
Jim Kelly.
Yeah, Fran Tarkenton would be one. But, I mean, currently...
Tony Romo?
I was going to say the Dallas Cowboys.
He's not good. He's
I was just going to go with Jerry Jones's team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
Marty
question.
Schottenheimer? He's not active. But
LaDainian Tomlinson?
Matt Hasselbeck?
How about LT?
Hasselbeck.
I was going to say not really
LaDainian
relevant.
Tomlinson? I don't know.
He's a star player on that team.
Sure.
I guess.
Right.
So it's a good question. Who holds the throne for the biggest choker in sports, not just football, sports.
All of sports.
Ooh, Bodie Miller. He's a good one. That skier. Remember him?
He batted himself on the back instant. Ooh, Bodie Miller. That's a good one.
We can't talk about them on this show, though.
Why?
No, I'm not. The one I want to think about. We
Taylor,
can't talk about
Twelman
them on this
and your
show.
New England Revolution.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. The Buffalo Bills of MLS.
Yes. Why can't we talk about them? It's legitimate red
soccer
talk.
I thought we weren't allowed to talk about the...
But it's factual. They've choked in
the
finals.
I'm sorry. If I'm not allowed to talk about the other stuff, I'm not allowed to talk about that stuff
either.
That's
a good point. Let's move on.
Millie in Montreal. That's a good question, though. Millie in Montreal says, since there's so many bad teams in the NFL...
Dirk Nowitzki?
And after coming back from London, how would you feel about a system of relegation like they have in Europe when bad teams go down to the lower leagues?
When bad teams go
bad. Maybe it would
if you're the worst team, you go to London.
Maybe it would make that new junior league more relevant and we'd get rid of those terrible teams for a year.
What junior league?
The UFL. The UFL was on last night.
Oh.
I was interested for
a few
minutes. I still
have yet to see any of that.
It's almost over, isn't it?
Why
I mean, they only have four teams. I don't know how long they can go.
When they're going to go from starting
October
and end November?
I'm pretty sure I've seen every matchup in the...
My old guy basketball league. Four teams, Andy. Stunning. Starting next week.
More interesting. The UFL or Paul's old guy basketball?
Good
Paul's
question.
Old guy basketball because Paul's in it.
I'm on the shelf, though, with this toe thing. I tell you, it's
like NASCAR. You're waiting for the guy to have a heart attack. Not just you.
I don't think I'll ever run fast enough.
Do you have like an on-site EMT that just kind of sits there and watches
those things?
I don't know.
The defibrillators paddles? in the on the wall somewhere, ready to go.
I don't know.
Clear.
Let's see.
What happens when we advance to play in like the Garden in some big tournament when you know the Lakers come to town or something. I don't know.
Perillo on the parquet.
I think he's mocking UK Patriots fans. Flag football.
I give them what they want.
Chris from Stanford says,
I was wondering
if you could play coach for a minute. And give your choices on
what to do
with each player. Remember, these are your choices, not predictions on what Belichick and the other coaches want to do, although you can talk about that too. So we're the coach. What would you do? Adalis Thomas, keep him in his drop-back role or send him after the QB more?
Send him after the QB more.
Agreed.
Okay. Brandon Tate, wide opposite Moss or slot? Do you have him take Welker's place returning punts?
Wide opposite
wide
Moss.
Opposite
and yes.
Moss and yes. Yeah.
Actually...
Yeah, I've never actually seen him return a punt.
Well, kickoffs we've seen, but not
No, I know,
yet.
But I would like to see that he has the ability to catch
sure,
the punt.
Provided that he has
I've never
the
seen it with these
it.
Eyes.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, Andy.
You know, Darius Butler was the greatest athlete on the planet until I saw him bouncing off his face.
Lawrence Maroney
didn't catch the ball either. Yeah.
Lawrence Maroney, give him 20 to 25 carries a game to hopefully find a rhythm, break one, or platoon him.
Platoon him.
Can I take the middle? I'm not sure. I'm forcing 25 carries into him, but give him the carries.
10 to 12?
Well, no, give him. I don't need to see Morrison. I'd give him a chance to be the guy with the carries, but I'm not forcing him. You know what I mean?
No,
I still
knows.
Want
no
offense to
know.
Be the heart. I mean, the passing game to be the heart of the offense. But when we run, I'll give him the chance to run.
Would you give more carries to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
No.
Change of pace.
Yeah.
Five carries?
Yes, I would.
Four
I
or
give
five
him
carries,
more carries
a game? No, I'm fine with that.
Sebastian Vollmer, if Matt Light comes back, does he take reps to ease in Light or go right for Kazier?
That's
you mean,
so does he replace Kazier on the right? Or,
no. Not for me.
Not necessarily.
Who?
Do you think?
Vollmer?
Not necessarily, no.
Put Vollmer on the right to replace him or Light?
Yeah.
No, Vollmer. He wants to put on the
Vollmer
right side
over
to replace
on the right.
Kazier.
I might leave Vollmer where he is and put Light over on the other side.
Yeah, I don't want to do
that. I don't
want to
do
really
that either.
Drastic.
Vollmer goes
not
back
the way Styles G. White was bitch slapping him.
Right. To me, Vollmer goes back to the bench, and Light, as long as Light's healthy, and you stick with your starting five.
Ron Brace, play him while Green and Warren rest, or give him more time to learn technique.
Well, I'd like him to be active.
I need more information.
Well, I'm not playing him to rest those guys, but now that there's an injury, sure, I'd give him a chance.
Let's see.
Darius Butler, more coverage at corner or let him learn at the nickel? Let him learn at the nickel.
Put him at the edge.
What's the
put him at
but
the
he's
edge.
Playing corner when he's in the nickel. So
well, but to me, it's the same thing. You're either covering the guy in the slot or you're covering the guy at the outside. I don't.
Yeah.
I think that there are things that make one guy better at. You know, like Will Height is obviously better suited to play in the slot. But to me, it ultimately comes down to can you cover the guy that you're supposed to cover? I like Butler. I think you play him. I like him.
Any practice squad players you'd bring up, stand back, for example?
None.
Terrence, none.
Now, did I say none or none?
See what he's doing there? He's very clever.
Yes, he is. He's a sneaky guy.
No, N-U-N-N, I'd bring up. Give
N-U-N-N.
Him a chance.
Give him a chance.
Give him the Sam Aiken reps.
All right, 508-543-7482, and now on the phone is Andrew from East Bridgewater. Andrew, how you doing?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Where'd you go?
I'm at work. You know how it is.
No, not really. No. I haven't worked a day in my life. I work here.
I work for Fred.
That's right. Oh, if you're working for Fred, you must be pretty well off.
No, not really. Only Fred's well off. Only he has robotic vacuums zipping around the house at
and
midnight.
$1,200 German
evidently,
vacuums.
Fred doesn't count against the cap, so it's a little bit different rules for him.
He is a caddy.
I meant you didn't have to do much.
Oh, well, that's true. He's asleep at the wheel.
So, Merriweather, he's going to be, I think this game with Miami is going to show if he's going to be an MVP or not. If he plays good against Miami, if he can stop the Wildcat, if he can stop the run and play good pass protection, I think we're going to win, and I think it's going to show because of him. I think he's the key.
Oh, boy.
I don't necessarily agree with just this game. I agree with Merriweather in the spotlight over the next month or so.
Yeah, I think Indianapolis and New Orleans are going to
be
more about Merriweather.
For doing something against some pretty crappy teams.
I'd be worried if my safety is the guy who's trying to stop the Wildcat. I'd rather have the upfront guys do that.
Well, I don't know. Well, I figure that the guys in the back can, they don't throw very much off the Wildcat, but as soon as you bring up the safety, that's probably what they'll do.
Yeah, I'd rather see McGowan do that than Merriweather. McGowan can tackle better.
Because you bring both up, now that you're just tempting them to try to
and
throw
you know
it
what
the
happens
top.
If Ted Ginn gets a step, Andy?
There's only one or two guys per team in
the
league.
No one's
going to
catch Ted Ginn.
If he
Slater,
plays.
Of course, he might
play,
not
it,
catch it.
If he's in first string.
Right. Well, he won't be in first string, but he'll play.
But he'll play.
That other guy, that Hartline guy, is the guy. He had a chance last week for a big play early that Henny overthrew him.
Yeah.
He got
behind.
He was
wide open on that play.
That would have been a long touchdown. I think they need to hit some of those if they're going to win.
it's going to be such a good game that I had to be there, so I had to go and get tickets.
Nice.
So I'll be there on Sunday, and so I have to watch the Wildcat get squished. You know, squish the fish.
Nice. Kill the cat.
Kill the cat, yep, that's right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Good stuff.
All right, guys,
have
thank
fun.
You.
See
you
on Sunday.
Thanks
for calling in, Andrew.
Oh, are you still there?
I'm going to the locker room, Fred. I'll see you.
Okay.
Damn it, I wanted to ask him a question. Oh, you brought your own little cushy with you.
Yeah, I always do. Doc was nice enough to give them to us,
I use them. I keep forgetting. Joel.
Now there's no point because it's already been ruined by the Big Show guys. They've already spit and licked. And
I know.
Do you take that with you?
No.
Oh.
I wouldn't mind it, but I've never thought of it.
Couple nominations for biggest choker in sports already.
Jenna Jameson.
Joel and Merrimack says Greg Norman. That's a good one.
Certainly.
Tiger Woods.
Let's see. John says, I hate to say this, but you have to look at how long a player has played. And if you ask what they won or didn't win, you would have to say Junior Seau. He's played for 50 years in no ring.
50 years.
I love the guy, but he ranks up there. I don't. It's hard to say a linebacker is a big choker. In football, it's got to be like a quarterback.
Quarterback.
You know? Yeah. Let's
see. But he has played a long time, and, you know,
Andrew says
he did ruin a perfect season.
Andrew says the biggest choker in sports is Donovan McNabb.
I think he's in that conversation.
He's very high in the
Certainly in that conversation. He's played some really bad games in some really big spots.
You know what I struggle with him? I don't think his team is great every time.
No.
And he wins a lot of games.
He stinks
when I watch him.
He's a tough
one. But he wins.
You know what? He's not a very accurate passer.
He's a streak hitter. When he's hot, he's hot.
But they've gone so many years with no weapons.
But now they have weapons.
No, I know. But I'm saying he didn't, and he won. He got to title games.
They've never given him receivers.
But that's my point. So how can I say he sucks when they give him chicken crap at receiver and he gets to a title game?
And Westbrook gets hurt.
Right.
But you make that argument about him, too. And then, you know, they went to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row, and they lost. And they went out, and they got T.O. And all of a sudden he comes in with 15 touchdowns, and they go to the Super Bowl.
Right. It's kind of like Brady.
So he's proven that when he has them.
Imagine that, Brady and McNabb.
He can
the same
be productive,
sentence.
But that's
Bleh. Just
this,
like he
there's
does.
Something missing with him, and I don't think he's at his best when he has to be.
Yeah,
it's in here and in here.
And that Arizona game last year is a perfect example. He struggled early. They fell way behind. They made the comeback almost when I'm not saying there was no pressure on him, but no one expected them to come back in the second half the way they did. And then they came back. They took the lead. Arizona went down and retook the lead. There was still plenty of time, and he's missing wide-open guys.
He doesn't have the testicular fortitude.
To me, suddenly when he had to do it, he couldn't do it. And it's unfair because he played really well to get them back in the game. They took the lead. They certainly scored enough points to win. But I just think there's something missing there.
Speaking of people possibly
when
having
he knows he's up against it, that it's do
I think
or that, die.
Is that Joel?
Yeah.
Fortitude.
I think that's a good one. Donovan McNabb's a good one.
Sam emails?
No Sam emails, no.
Son of a bitch, we scared Sam away.
Mark in Nova Scotia, has a question for Paul.
Who?
Mark in Nova Scotia has a question for Paul.
Okay.
Since you guys got what is that, 217?
His weight.
since you guys got talking about the Big Show, I wondered if you have any thoughts on the feud that has recently escalated between Glenn Ordway and your former Herald peer, the sports guy Bill Simmons.
That's actually a very old one. And every time Bill Simmons comes on the radio, whatever show he's on EEI, he makes fun of the other shows. So I think they were kind of playing that up a little bit. But he's been on in the afternoon with Glenn, and he's very critical of John and Jerry in the morning. Now, recently he was on with John and Jerry and said, oh, it's not you guys, it's the afternoon show. So I think Bill is one of those guys that is kind of fraudulent in that regard. I think he just kind of – he loves to take his little pot shots at WEEI, but he never hesitates for a second to go on WEEI to promote whatever he's working on next. And They had some shots at him yesterday, Glenn. Glenn was all over him.
On air or off?
On.
Oh. I'd rather they be off because then I think they're real. Played as a gimmick on air.
That's a good point.
Let's see. Did Eric leave you his picks?
No, we'll get him. We'll get him upstairs.
They're in the paper.
Keith from Derby, UK. Listening to yesterday's podcast, I enjoyed your chat about the reasons why the top AFL teams have maintained their preeminence. For sure, good organizational management must play a huge part because a stable underpinning is vital in any company, and the Kraft certainly give that. We all know that the NFL draft process is intended to produce parity, and making successful teams pick later ought to make it harder for them to find top talent. the Pats go even further and trade picks downwards as often as not, which is decidedly counterintuitive. Theoretically, they should be picking through the worst players of the draft, yet they are successful year after year. So my question to you sages of Foxborough is, can the success of the Pats be put down in part to a far better ability to develop players from a lower initial level of skill than the rest of the NFL?
Far better? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't. I think that it's...
I think you got Tom Brady.
And Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
That's what I think it's be boiled down to. I know it's simplistic, but I think, you know, we talk about this stuff all the time. I think you can have all the systems and philosophies that you want. If you don't have the guys to execute your philosophies, they're not going to win. They're not going to succeed. I think that Bill's overall principles of the foundation to set up your team, I think, are sound. But what happens the last 9 years if it were...
Sage Rosenfels.
Well, I was going to say Tim Rattay, because wasn't he the guy that was picked right around the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Of that 2000 draft. Was it him?
Wasn't it another one of them? I don't know.
Giovanni Camarzi?
Yeah.
One of those guys? There were a bunch of 6th/7th round draft pick quarterbacks. Dick Rabine, who was the quarterback coach at the time, the late Dick Rabine, picked Brady. He identified Brady as the guy that the Patriots should pick. Had he identified one of those other guys, I wonder how differently we're talking about. I think the Patriots still would be a good team right now, but I don't think you're talking about a 3-time Super Bowl winner and a 4-time Super Bowl qualifier over the last 9 years if it was just anybody playing quarterback. And it kind of showed that last year. They were still good with Castle, but not great. So I think it's kind of the philosophy meets talent. And
right.
Tom Brady is clearly one of the best quarterbacks in football. And without that, I don't think you're anywhere near as successful. And Belichick pulls the trigger on it all. Without him, I know they wouldn't be as successful as they are.
Right. Let's get to some quick rugby emails, because we have a lot of them, and you know they deserve to be read before we get to the picks. One is from Chris. He says, I played rugby in college and then for a club team after college, so I thought your discussion was interesting. Think of it this way. In countries like France, Australia, England, Ireland, South Africa, and New Zealand, most of their biggest, strongest, fastest athletes play rugby. Here are some examples. Brian Habana, winger from South Africa, 5'10", 207 pounds. He's generally considered one of the finest wings in rugby and one of the fastest players in the world. He runs a 10-2 100-meter dash. Here are a couple of quick videos, and so he has some videos. In general, I'd say most rugby players are about the size of big NFL safeties or small linebackers. There are a lot of guys in the 6'2 to 6'4 range and the 220 to 250 pound range. However, they are the exceptions. Richard Metcalf plays for Scotland, and I think he is around 7 feet, 285.
Wow.
And the heaviest player to play internationally was Bill Cavabatti at about 360 pounds.
A 7-foot rugby player.
Wow. That's something.
But it's what we said yesterday, basically safeties, linebacker size, special team size players who can run, have enough size for contact.
Let's see. Connor from Dublin writes in. He says, great to hear you guys debate yesterday with little knowledge on the subject. We got to see who was the best debater, something I've tried to find out since the great debate began. Andy made the best point, in my opinion, of the average rugby player
Love the Irish.
Being the equivalent of a special teamer, but aren't they the average players in the NFL? Fred, you got to love your perseverance in these debates. We now know why you are the boss. Just kidding. This is a debate that I've had on countless occasions with rugby players who only reply NFL is for pussies because they wear protection.
You can't say that.
No, we can, because they said it on the Real Radio. My argument is this. NFL players,
Bad Real Radio.
NFL players are better trained, study the game much more, and have better pure athletes than rugby. But rugby is played with a more amateur toughness, so to speak. So rugby players are, for the most extent, not all about the money. It's about the team and playing for your country, or heart, as you call it. Rugby also wins out in the stamina category. Could a rugby player translate to the gridiron? Absolutely. I have no doubt in my mind that the best backs, the finesse players in rugby, possess variations of the same moves that, say, Adrian Peterson has, and could sniff out or create a seam much better than Maroney can. Also, rugby kickers can punt and kick field goals just as good, if not better, than in the NFL. They could even be on their team's Adrian Peterson, who breaks loose and runs the pitch for a try. It would be a hell of a lot harder for an NFL player to move to rugby, as they would have to play 80 minutes with one halftime break, learn to kick as they need to, and how to arm tackle properly. NFL have better athletes, but rugby has more of them.
I don't know the answer to this, but
Fred's disgusted, by the way.
Rugby players, even professionals or whatever the high level, I mean, do they still have jobs or how to?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they do.
Are they?
Unless they're on the pro.
It's not
the
like
high
specialized.
League. Well, in the highest league, that's their job.
It is.
They get paid.
No, I know they get paid, but for some reason, I kind of think of it as pro sports here like 25, 30 years ago where they got paid, but they had other stuff they did.
Like
it wasn't year-round
like,
it is
the
now.
The officials get paid,
right,
but
right.
That's not their full-time
but
gig.
My point is, you know, he said the NFL, they have better training, better, you know. Would these guys reach a higher level if they focused on eating, literally eating, drinking, lifting,
nutrition, and
yeah,
all that
supplements,
stuff that goes into
quote
it.
Unquote.
You know, some guys learn power at the major league level.
Some guys put on 25 pounds after college, all muscle. By the way, they just had a Stephen Cooper highlight film on NFL.
Speaking of learning power at
very
the
impressive
NFL level.
Play. He hurdled a blocker and then landed and made the tackle. Very nice against the Raiders.
Let's see. Dana writes in, rugby versus football. I've played a lot of rugby and football, and I am a huge fan of both sports. However, football players are faster than rugby players, receivers are faster than backs, the rugby equivalent, and the fat guys in football are much faster and more athletic than the fat guys in rugby. Teaching football players how to tackle like rugby players would not work. In football, you're taught to tackle with your arms and to get your helmet in front of the opponent when tackling from the side. In rugby, you're taught to get your helmet on the, and then it just ends. He just gave up, I guess. I don't know. Or hit send too quickly. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Kevin and Redding, that might be one of the reasons why that those geniuses at the Sports Hub haven't hired us, you know. That kind of stuff right there.
And then it just stops.
And it just stops. So we'll move right along.
LT from Australia, we should start a game where emailers guess what Eric is wearing that day. For the record, I guess V-neck will pull over with a scarf because he would be a Jonas brother.
A scarf.
Listening to the past few shows since the London trip, I want to weigh in on the rugby discussion. A quick explanation of rugby union players are broadly placed in two categories known as front rowers, big fat guys, and backs, skillful, agile, faster players. Because blocking is not allowed in rugby, the front rowers are basically battering rams, wearing down the defense whilst the backs then pick holes and try to score either through good lateral ball movement or line breaks. With relation to tackling, the front rowers on defense are much like D linemen and linebackers, who I believe are the better tacklers in the NFL. The problem seems to lie within the secondary and the safeties in particular, whose job it is to be the last line of defense. I think that in terms of tackling, the mentality of players is to hit, which may be a 50% shot, rather than the tackle, which may be 85%. I think that most players have the fundamentals. It's just a matter of executing them.
And isn't it funny that the smaller the players, the more they try for the big hit? You got like the safeties, whereas linebackers, guys up front, are trying to make the tackle. Whereas these guys are smaller, so you'd think they'd be trying to do the rugby version, which is kind of pull a guy down, tackle him, rather than go for the big hit, but they all go for the big hit.
Warren from the UK says, I highly doubt many, if any, rugby players can run a 4.340. It's true if they were that fast, they'd be doing track.
Why? Why isn't it true about NFL players if they were that fast, they'd be doing track?
Because the money's in football.
And I would say that I don't think there are very many NFL players that are running 4.340s.
The wingers are fast, but not that fast. Fastest rugby winger in the world is Brian Habana from South Africa, and he isn't on the same speed level of any Hester, Harvin, or even Bush. And, yes, it's the Sun newspaper with page 3.
What does I don't know what a good – he ran a 10-200?
Yeah, like 100-meter.
Right, yeah. But what does that compare to – I mean
– Well, we do the 100-yard dash, and guys run it under nine.
Yeah, it's like nine, yeah.
100 meters is a little longer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, Florida State guys, these receivers that also run track. I mean, is that a world-class time? Is that like an Olympic caliber?
Here's a good email that addresses that. Here's a good email that addresses that. This is from Andy in Ireland.
Love
the
Irish.
Firstly, Fred, I'm calling you out. You said rugby players were slow, stocky midgets yesterday. I did.
Yes, you did.
All right. Well, let's check this out. The average height and weight of the 22 starters on the Steelers Super Bowl winning team was 6'2", 250. The average height and weight of the 15 starters of the South African Rugby World Cup winning team was 6'3", 235. So the footballers are smaller and heavier. Combining the 22 and 15 players, the five shortest players, four Steelers, one South African, the five lightest players, three Steelers. Okay, whatever. But now he gets the speed. The 100-meter speeds of Chris Johnson, Ted Ginn, and Devin Hester are 10.3, 10.45, and 10.42. The 100-meter speeds of rugby players to Darai Chivanga, Tom Varndell, and Brian Habana
touchdown,
are 10,
Tommy
2,
Varndell.
7,
is that
10,
where he
3,
ended up?
And 10.4.
Now, are these actual measurements or mathematical calculations?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because Chris Johnson is in a true elite speed in the NFL.
But if you transform his 40 to 100, he's going to be slower than that
number. That's not,
Because a 40 is faster than
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
So it would actually be higher than those if he just used 40 times and converted them mathematically to hundreds.
Rugby players miss about 10% of tackles and don't have breaks and take in oxygen after each one. I commend Andy and Eric for actually watching some rugby before talking about it.
Yep, that's what we do.
But please watch rugby before criticizing it. If you're still not convinced, I have plenty more stats for you. The NFL may get the best American athletes, but the rest of the world, the same quality athletes too. My rant is over. Any news on Matt Light? If he comes back, do you think Vollmer has shown enough to start at right tackle? Has he ever played there in college?
Not in college.
No. And very little here. As well. He has played some. He has taken some reps on the
But I have no
side,
doubts the
little.
Way Bill has praised him for it. I have no doubts that he can
That he
it.
Could do it. I think that's an option, yes. I don't think it will happen. I think if Light's ready, Light returns and Vollmer goes back to the bench. But I'm not going to be stunned if we see Vollmer trotting out there to play right tackle. I think he has played well. But I think the last game that he played, he kind of struggled. I think he struggled with Andy's boy Styles G. White. Got a couple of holding penalties. Look, he's a rookie. Making his, he's getting his feet wet at the highest level.
He's from Germany.
I think he could do well to go back to the bench.
Just saying, he's from Germany.
All right, we're up against the break, but before we get there, John in L.A. is calling in. John, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great. Hey,
where you been?
Where you
finally
been,
got
man?
A work days?
I've just been working my butt off.
Doing what? What are you now? Waitressing or?
Oh.
Yeah, it's good stuff always. No, writing.
Good.
Yep.
What are you writing? Screenplay based on our show?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It would be.
It would be fantastic.
You could sell it, I'm telling you. In this age of stupid movies, we are as stupid as they come.
I know, that's my problem. I think I need to write really, really stupid movies instead of just,
kind
of
stupid?
Bad ones.
Yeah.
Well, they have to come out with a certain amount of movies every year to keep the industry working.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. I'm calling because I'm wondering what you guys think about the following. The Patriots have played the Rex Ryan defense or something close to it once this year. Twice this year. They're going to play it again when we play the Jets again, and they might play it again come playoff time if we face the Ravens or the Jets. Do you think that that's an advantage given how, sometimes it's a little overblown about Belichick faced the defense the second time, but there's some merit to it. In that scenario, having faced it three times already, I would think that would be a pretty helpful thing for us. What do you think?
Well, I will always take Bill with more of a base of knowledge and more to work with.
I agree, and I think you could add, although it's not the same, but as long as we're just kind of extrapolating with the similar, add Denver with Mike Nolan, who has a lot of the principles, I think. I don't think he quite has the personnel to do it, but I think there's some similarities there with Mike Nolan's doing in Denver, too.
Right. So I can't think of a year since Belichick has come to the Patriots, where we've played the same or similar defenses as many times as we will have by the end of the year.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't done the research, but it does seem like a good.
Yeah, there was the year that we played the Jets three times because we played the Jets in the playoffs in 06. So that was the same exact defense three times. So, yeah, I agree with Andy, John. I think the more you give Belichick a look at something, I think more often than not, the better he's going to do in preparing for it.
That's sort of that's interesting because it's similar to Belichick doesn't always do that well the first time he sees a quarterback. And like some rookie quarterbacks,
exactly.
We've shut them down. But more often than people probably think, they do not that bad against Belichick.
Yeah. Talented young quarterbacks have generally done pretty well.
Well, not even just talented, but I would say more like fundamental quarterbacks, and this is going to start to sound racist the more I talk, but a Trent Edwards or a guy who just checks down and kind of takes what he gets
rather than a Josh Johnson or somebody who's kind of an athlete who runs around, strong arm, Jamarcus Russell.
You know,
I think the more fundamentally sound, the average Joe guy kind of coming out of college, Trent, the guy from Michigan State, all these just like Joe average quarterbacks who check down their whole careers, I think Bill sometimes struggles more with than these like athletic guys.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ben Roethlisberger's first game against the Patriots was very successful for Pittsburgh. Joe Flacco had a good game earlier this year against Belichick. I just think, yeah, I mean, they shut down bad quarterbacks when they see them for the first time. But
even when they're not young, even when they're not rookies, like even like
Kyle Orton.
But that's who I'm talking about. Those guys. Yeah.
Kyle Orton is a check down guy who's not going to make a lot of mistakes. AJ Feely.
Those guys. Those kind of boring, fundamental, dump it off guys. Not overly physically gifted kind of guys, but just maybe take what's there.
The one I always remember is Shane Matthews way back in like 2000 in Chicago. He completed like 15 passes in a row. Shane Matthews stunk.
Right.
He couldn't play a lick.
Oh, my God. That game was so frustrating.
And he just absolutely torched us that day.
So frustrating. That was the last game. That was the year before they tore down the old Chicago Soldier Stadium.
Yeah, Soldier Field. Yeah.
Whatever.
Who's on Rook today?
Rook.
I mean, who's hosting? Is it Rook?
Yep.
Oh, I assume.
All right. I got to call and yell at Rook.
You should. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess he ruffled some feathers yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't listen yesterday. I'm calling on principle as him being an
asshole. Oh, okay.
Topic.
All right. Hey, easy.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
Can I get
and
John?
And a no tomato on that, John.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going around the NFL.
What did he do, Fred?
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
All right, welcome back here to PFW in Progress. And, of course, it's Thursday, so we're going around the NFL. Good rugby talk. We did get a lot more emails that I didn't get to. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. I'm not saying that rugby players aren't good athletes. In fact, I wrote that one of the reasons why the Patriots or the NFL needs to think internationally is so someday these best rugby player, Australian rules football players, look at the NFL as some place where they'd rather play and make their living. So
but you don't think they'd be able to compete?
No, I do. I think the I do. I think the best athletes in all sports, because I think of the uniqueness of the different positions, there's a position for everyone in football, unless you're just that small. But if you have the speed or the size, you can play football.
Why is it so important, do you think, to have that? To have guys, you know, why do we want the rugby players and the Australian rules football players someday to be
because,
playing in
a because there are a lot of great athletes out there.
No, I understand
and
that, but why do you
and
care?
If all of a sudden the best athlete of Australia is playing NFL football, a lot of Australian people are going to want to follow the NFL.
Yeah, who cares?
I mean, just the way Japan follows Major League Baseball and China follows, you know, who's the guy?
I don't know if there's a correlation there. Japan baseball is the
big
lifeblood.
Because they play
but
it.
But Japanese baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ingrained in those people.
No, but the Red Sox did very well when they got, what's his name over here?
Yes, but
Dice K.
But would they have had there been no Japanese baseball? I mean, that's...
Well, no, but you have to get people playing it first. And, you know, if
My point is...
There's a whole economics argument behind what I'm talking about. The level of pay in the NFL would have to increase so dramatically that, you know, a Tom Brady would be making $50 million. In my scenario, that type of player would be making $50 million. The guys coming in internationally would be making like $5 million. Where else can you make that money? I'm going to look at being an NFL player. Maybe I'll walk on at a college because I'm that good in an athlete with the hopes of getting drafted. Because the money is just worth taking that risk rather than staying home and playing rugby. That's it. Anyway.
All right.
What? John, no, we're doing around the NFL. Yeah. Okay.
You have to snap at Andy. He's just an intern.
God almighty.
Wow. This isn't Northeastern.
He's going to cry himself to sleep in his dorm pillow.
Listen, Andy, you heading down to Richmond in March for the CAA tournament?
No, I'm not.
Oh, good, because he wanted a carpool if you were.
Even I'm more of a loser.
He's not that much of a loser.
I'm even more of a loser than the guy
that
works.
Guy does play-by-play for the school, and he's not that big a loser.
Paul drove down by himself last year.
2 years ago. Last year I flew.
With a case of beer.
It's possible that I'm going. I'm just not sure. I might not even be in the area.
If you had a ride, would you go?
Well, it's possible he's going. He just doesn't want to cross paths with you.
Oh, yeah. I'll be flying.
If you just chip in for gas, you know.
I'm not driving.
Company,
I
not
told
driving?
You, I drove once. I won't do that again.
But if you had a partner this time.
No. Well, my brother, I think, is going this year.
Oh, boy. That's a car ride. That's like they'll be fighting before they hit the turnpike.
Who gets let out in Jersey?
I don't fight with my brother.
You don't fight with your brother?
A lot, I said. No. I mean, growing up, sure, but
every
as
time
adults,
I hear you talking to him, you're arguing.
When do you hear me talking
to him? On the
phone.
We're doing picks this week?
All right, let's do the
Mister,
picks.
Mister, we got to hurry up.
Do you think we can rush through them? There's less games than ever this week, and we have one less person. Do you think we can rush through them
but
in 20
Fred
minutes?
He doesn't care suddenly this week. He wants to talk about you and your brother and CAA.
Besides the fact that people don't really like the picks portion of the show.
Is that right? Do you know that?
Your focus groups are telling you that? Based on the studies.
All right, but we have to do it. So
we do. All right.
What happened last week?
It was a tough week all around last week for everybody. I went 8-5. That was the best. You three all went 7-6.
Wow.
With the spread, Eric was 6-7. That was the best.
Jeez.
I went 5-8. Andy and Fred went 4-9. So it was a tough week all around.
Well, you know what happened? The Kenyans are now losing marathons, just like I'm losing my lead. It's
so
terrible.
Here's the current standings. The Kenyan is 79-37.
Who's the Kenyan?
You.
Oh, I'm winning?
You gave yourself a nickname, and now you don't adhere to it?
Well, now it's American, baby!
Oh, sorry. Andy Hart, not to be confused with Andy the intern.
The American.
79-37. Eric is 78-38. I'm 76-40. Fred is 72-44.
Taking it on
with
the chin.
With the spread, with the number, I am the Kenyan. 63-52-1.
Are there two more polar opposites than fat white Paul?
How many weeks in a row are you going to use the same joke? Diversify your material.
I've been calling you fat and old for like 8 years now. It still works.
Diversify your material. Andy and Eric are 61-54-1. That makes
Bill's
sense
giants.
That those two would be joined at the hip, Fred,
yep.
For obvious reasons.
They have
Fred,
a unit there.
Fred, tough.
tough, Gino Capelletti.
Tough, tough, Tough year for you all around.
Tough
Fred.
Year, yeah.
54-61-1.
Wow. You stink.
All right, so why don't you lead us off, Andy, with the game of the day. Gus Johnson is sure to be at the 50-yard line for this one. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Jaguars by 6.5. Jaguars.
Despite the boost that the Chiefs will get from Chris Chambers, I'll take the Jaguars because they're at home.
I guess I have to go next, huh? I am going to take Jacksonville to win the game. However, I will take the points. I'll take the 6.5.
I'm going to go with Paul. That's the way I'm going to.
Okay, we better really hurry this up because we're not going to have enough time. Baltimore, in which should be a good game, is at Cincinnati looking for some revenge. The Bengals are getting 3 points at home. The 5-2 Bengals getting 3 points at home.
I can see that.
Interesting. I will take this is a good game. Yeah. I will take Baltimore to win on the road. More tested over time. The Bengals are a better team, but are they ready to win this kind of game even at home? I'm not saying they are. I'm saying the Bungles come out, not the Bengals, and Baltimore gets it done.
Yeah, I like the Ravens, too. A little bit different than Andy. I think the Ravens are a better team. I think that they squeaked by. Cincinnati squeaked by in the first game, winning with like 10 seconds left. Cedric Benson had a huge game, like 130 yards rushing. I don't think that happens again. And even with that, they just barely made it. So I think Baltimore gets revenge.
Yeah, I got to go with Baltimore, too. They seem to have turned a little bit of a corner.
Big win last week against Denver.
Yeah, and, you know, they realized that they weren't playing up to par. And they
got to straighten out the defense, and it looks like they may have done that a little bit last week.
Yeah, so I'll go with Baltimore.
Houston is at Indy. Andy, what's your name? Andy.
Kenyon.
Colts by 9.
I will take the Colts to win and cover. Better football team, and they roll right into a matchup with the New England
According
Patriots.
To the schedule, apart from Baltimore, I think every big game Indy has from now on is at home. They have all home games.
It's amazing.
So, disrespect to the Patriots again.
Luckily for the Patriots, they've had all home games so far. Indy will win this game, I believe. I think Indy's got it right. I think Indy wins and covers.
Yeah, how can you not go for Indy in this game? Although,
Houston's given them trouble.
Yes, they have in the past. Not this year.
But they never beat them.
Nope.
They drafted Mario Williams to beat Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Washington at Atlanta, where the Falcons, coming off a disappointing Monday night loss, are favored by 10.
Wow. Can things get any worse than they are in Washington? Did you hear what John Riggins said about
Andy
Dan Snyder?
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
He said he had evil. He had
evil in his heart.
Dark
in his heart.
Dark in his heart. Yeah. Darkness in his heart.
Darkness.
Bad guy.
Good stuff.
Unethical business stuff.
There's a dark heart.
Yeah. I will take the Falcons to win. What was the number?
10.
I will take the Falcons to win and cover. Big plays in this game. I think defensively they make a couple big plays, and offensively they roll with some big plays. This is a good one for them to feel good about themselves and for the Redskins to continue to feel bad about themselves.
There aren't many teams that I'd be willing to lay 10 points for the Falcons right now because I don't think they're playing very well, but this is one of them. Washington is just in such disarray. I'm going to take the Falcons, and I just can't imagine Matt Ryan continues to throw all these picks. He's got 8 in the last 4 games. At some point, Andy's right. He makes big plays and doesn't turn the ball over.
However, the one bright spot of the season for the Redskins is their defense. It's not been that bad. So I'm going to say that the Washington Redskins cover, Atlanta wins.
Okay, we go to the Bay of Pigs. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. Old NFC Central game, Andy. Buccaneers at home getting 9.5 points. And I believe Josh Freeman will be playing, right?
I don't care who's playing, really.
I just want to give you some information.
The pigs in this bay is Tampa. Green Bay goes on the road and rolls. Big day for Aaron Rodgers. Big day for everybody in a Green Bay uniform. Bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take Green Bay as well. I don't like it. I don't like giving 9.5 points with a team that I don't think is all that good in the Packers, but Tampa Bay just doesn't deserve to get the respect to take them right now.
They don't. And Green Bay really needs to come out and play well because that was such a disappointment last week. So look for Green Bay to cover.
All right. Arizona and the Jekyll and Hyde Cardinals are at Chicago where the Bears are favored by 3 points. I think that was a little bit of a surprising spread. Chicago by 3.
I will take the Bears to lose to the Cardinals. Bounce back, road victory. I'll say Kurt Warner doesn't give it away now, and the Cardinals hit some big plays in the passing game, and Jay Cutler does give it away.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I like the Cardinals. I don't really consider this an upset, but I guess by the spread it is.
My upset of the week using Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, I think they're a better team, and Warner coming off a miserable day last week, I think he bounces back.
Chicago at home, I'm going to go with the Bears.
The Bears.
I think that this is the beginning of the end for Kurt Warner.
There's a part of me that thinks that's a chance. If he doesn't bounce back, there'll be a much bigger part of me that thinks he might just be done. He really looked, and he looked inept here when he did it, but he looked just out of it last week in my mind. And at some point, he's going to be just out of it, out of the league, out of the game, and it's going to be over him.
Doesn't he sometimes look when things are going bad, like when he throws a pick or something, and you know who Kurt Warner is now after all these years and all these stories. You know what his beliefs and his faith and all that. Doesn't he look like a guy when he goes to the sideline after something bad? It's like, that's okay. Jesus still loves me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm not trying to make light of it.
No.
Because I know it's real. It's a legitimate faith with him. But that's how he kind of looks to me. Like, I want to play well. I want to win. But if I don't, there's larger things in life. And
right.
That's a balanced, human approach, but not necessarily what I'm looking for out of my NFL quarterback.
Right.
Anyway, we'll move on. Carolina at New Orleans. The Saints favored by 13.5 in the Dome.
And I saw a number. Carolina has won 7 straight in the Dome in this series.
Is that accurate?
I believe so.
Did not know that. Never heard of Billy Bear.
So I will say that streak ends. Streaks are made to be broken. I will say New Orleans wins, but Carolina keeps it close. Not sold on New Orleans, ready to just blow everybody out. And I think Carolina runs the football on them back and forth to keep it within the spread.
What he said, all around.
Really? Okay.
I think New Orleans will win, but I think Carolina runs the ball to keep the offense off the field enough to keep it close.
Yeah, and Steve Smith has come alive. He's starting to be Steve Smith again.
Who was he?
He just was not part
himself.
He wasn't part of the offense early on. I'm going to go with the same thing. New Orleans wins, but they do not cover.
All right, moving right along. Another Gus Johnson special, but this one's in the NFC, so he won't be able to broadcast it. Detroit is at Seattle. Seattle by 10.
Gus Johnson special.
Well, that's what they call it.
I know.
Giggles. I will take Seattle to win. They're at home, and Detroit's not a... Are they really calling Calvin Johnson Megatron now? Is that a nickname that's sticking?
Because I like it. Megatron?
The big Transformer guy. I kind of like it because that's what he is. He's like the big machine look to him.
Do you imagine if he got to play with Brady or Manning?
That's a wet dream for Patriots fans right there. God, it might rain.
You're giving the
Seattle win. Yeah, we're talking about Seattle. It rains a lot in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle, what was the points?
10.
Yeah.
I definitely like Seattle. I'm going to take Seattle to cover, too. I'll lay the 10 points. Detroit hasn't looked very good lately.
I think this week...
Like the last 2 years.
Schwartzy not getting it done.
Upset of the week. Detroit wins this game.
All right, Freddie. Now, Fred.
That's an upset.
That's an upset. Good job.
All right.
Tennessee at San Francisco. Interconference game. Niners favored by 4.
What's the health status in Tennessee? Are they still... All those defenders still out with broken arms and everything?
I would assume Nick Harper and Vincent Fuller are out because they had broken arms, 3 weeks ago?
I know they played the Colts tough. I'm a little bit off the Niners of late. So I'm going to take Tennessee to get another win. And with the fighting Vince Youngs, he's a guy who just wins football games, baby. No one likes him. Jeff Fisher doesn't like him. The fans don't like him. But more often than not for them, he's won games. And this is a matchup where he takes advantage of his talent around him. Chris Johnson, a big day. Makes his checkdowns, and they win.
I'm going to take San Francisco to win the game, but I will take the points. I think it'll be a field goal game. Do you think Tennessee is going to rattle off some wins now? Everybody's going to say that 59-0 win.
Rattle off? No.
No, I just don't think they... What's the spread here?
4.
I think they'll end up with
some
wins.
I like the Niners, but I'll take the points.
No, I'll take the Niners both ways in this game.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
San Diego, this ought to be a good matchup. Two teams that have been up and down, up and down. San Diego at the Giants. Giants favored by 4.5.
This is a hard one.
I'm going to do it. I'm just going to take the Giants, and I'm going to continue to take them. I don't care how many they lose because I think they're a decent football team, and sooner or later they got to start playing like the team that was the best team in football and not, Eli Manning not getting out of his own way. So I'll take the Giants to win and cover.
I wonder how much the foot has affected Eli Manning.
Plantar fasciitis.
You know, it's not getting any better. Just like we talk with Wes Welker and Randy Moss every week, it's not getting any better as the weeks go on. And I wonder if that's had something to do with his struggles. But
he's not the only talented guy on that team. They're a team.
Defensively, we saw this happen last year, although it happened a little bit later in the season. When they're not rotating as much up front because they're a little bit thinner with the defensive line, and they're not getting the same amount of pressure that they often did earlier in the season. And the secondary we know isn't great anyway. Plus, they lost probably the best member of the secondary in Kenny Phillips.
Plus, they haven't run the ball well enough.
And Brandon Jacobs, I saw a thing yesterday on ESPN. They were talking about him dancing a lot and he's not being that power.
When's he
going to
have a game where he has, like, just bowling people over, big plays, runs? Sooner or later, some of that has to come together, no?
Yeah. Well, I'm with Andy. I'm going to keep picking the Giants and probably lose a few more games
along. Week 17 in there.
Probably lose a few more games along the way.
I wouldn't blame anyone for picking the Chargers, but I got to go with the Giants at home. If it was in San Diego, I'd pick the Chargers, but I'm going with the home team.
This ought to be a good one, too. Dallas is at Philadelphia, where the Eagles are favored by 3. I believe that's the Sunday night game, Football Night in America game. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Brian Westbrook.
Didn't mean to keep you up.
Apparently is going to be back for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Wow. Colin Memorial.
Yeah, he played for Villanova. They're the Wildcats.
Apparently now that when you have a concussion around here, you're just a meow, whether it's on soccer field or
I got to be honest
field.
With you. I didn't even know what was keeping him out of the lineup this time. Concussion?
Knee in the head, yeah.
You know what? I lied. I saw that clip yesterday.
I was going to say, I've seen it a million times, and I don't see anything.
That was probably the part of the show on the big show when I wasn't talking. I was watching that. Go ahead.
I am going to go with the Eagles. I don't like what's going on in Dallas. Now you got Roy Williams saying balls are everywhere, and you know they're always on target when they go to number two, but when to number one, they don't. Yeah.
They throw it accurately to Miles Austin.
That kind of crap doesn't lend itself to winning football, especially competitive, tough football environment games. So I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles too, but I'll tell you, this is one of those games where you pick Philadelphia, you don't feel real good about it because whenever they're in that spot where you think they finally got it
and
together.
And why is that?
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
They
no
fail.
Testicular
they
fortitude.
Fail in this spot so often. I just think they're a better team than Dallas. They're at home. They got the momentum right now. They got to win this game.
They do have to win this game, and they've been playing a hell of a lot better than I thought they would, but I'm going to go with Dallas because I think Dallas, this is where Dallas starts giving their fans hope. Like, oh,
only
okay.
to dash it later.
Right. So.
Well, they got to beat a good team before I do that.
Yeah.
And they've beaten all the teams that they should have beaten.
Yeah, but this would be a good win for them.
This would absolutely be that.
Right.
On the road against the team that you're tied with for the division lead.
Yep.
That's a big time, be a big time win. Monday night game, another really good matchup and one that Patriots fans will have a lot of interest in. Pittsburgh at Denver.
Ooh.
Broncos getting 3 at Invesco.
Broncos get it. This is perfect for Andy because I love Roethlisberger. I love Mendenhall. And while I love Josh McDaniels, I think they're due for a stretch of losses. So I go with the Steelers on the road.
And while you love your time at Dayton Hobbit.
I am going to take Denver to pull a mild upset here. I don't really consider it an upset. I think they're two pretty even teams. For some reason, the home team is getting 3 points. And I'm going to take the Broncos getting points at home. I don't think that happens too often. Probably the last time it did was when the Patriots went to town. They won that one. I think they win this one.
Well, I don't. I'm rooting for Pittsburgh, believe it or not, to win this game.
You should be.
I hate.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I can't stand Pittsburgh. But you know, Denver's going to lose sometime. They're going to Indy. They might lose that game. I mean, there's a chance that I need Denver to have 4 or 5 losses. So. Hopefully this is one of them. But we'll see. This is a good test for Denver. Real good test.
Mm-hmm.
Palomalo's back. You know, Pittsburgh's playing better.
I don't know if Ryan Clark will play. We talked about that the other day, too, with that sickle cell disease.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going to play. He's a big part of the secondary.
Word.
Yeah. Talking about guys who just deliver the big hits, but he actually knocks the guy down when he does it.
And then gets fined.
Yeah. Well, not for the Wes Welker hit he didn't.
That's his money.
Miami at the Pat Rots.
I will go with the Patriots.
10.5.
I think it's easy. I don't think they're going to do what they need to do. I think the Patriots will control the running game to a pretty strong degree. And if they do that, I don't fear Chad Henne beating them. And I think on the other side of the ball, I just don't really fear Jason Taylor taking over this game. I don't know why. I think they're going to scheme, as I said, to keep tight ends and backs in to protect Brady. And they will go after those young corners on the outside and take advantage of them. And I think roll to victory.
whatever it was on the TV show, 30-something to 13, 14. I think it's a pretty easy one.
34 to 20. I think they went in cover, and all comes down to protecting Brady and stopping the run. I think they do both of those things.
Yeah, I think same thing about 34-13. Do you think that what Joey Porter said, is that bulletin board material?
Not really.
No?
Everything Joey Porter says to me is bulletin board material, but it's irrelevant because sometimes his team wins and sometimes they don't.
Right.
And the one constant is he's always talking. So.
But I just also think, I mean, Brady's still here, but it's so different now. All those guys, Vrabel and McGinnis and Brewski and Harrison, that would care.
Right.
Might care, but they're sitting.
I was surprised to hear Kevin Falk the other day talking about Porter and saying, "Listen, he says these things all the time, and you hate him on the football field, but you know, off the field, he's a great guy. He's a great dude." I think he said.
So he's Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. You got a knockout pick for me, Freddie?
Knockout pick.
Patriots.
I guess it would be
you got
Green
a knockout
Bay.
Pick for me, I can't pick the Patriots.
Green Bay.
I can't pick Green Bay. Oh, wait a minute. I might be able to pick Green Bay. I'll have to check that. Jeez. I think I picked Green Bay with one of my losses.
John Rook thinks you should take the Colts because they're the team of the decade.
You could just tell them to shut up, Fat Mouth. That's what Fred does all the time.
No, I don't think they're the team of the decade.
That's what I heard. You were arguing.
See, but if you don't take the time to listen, why would you even open up your mouth?
Wow.
Now that's what I'm looking for. That's what
I said. An email.
Listening
an email.
And talking but had nothing to do with
exactly.
What Andy does.
You know, something wrong with that, Fred.
Right. No, I heard that's what you were arguing.
We were arguing a little bit yesterday about you know, the potential for the Patriots being usurped or passed as the team of the decade. And I made an argument that I think, based on their regular season play, if they go ahead and they win the Super Bowl this year, you could make a case for the Colts. Not that it would be accurate, but you could make a case.
I don't think the case is for the Colts. I think the Steelers can make a case. If
well, you
they
can
win
make an even better case for the Steelers.
The Steelers then they're
can,
equal.
You can make a case for the Steelers, but I still think that they lose.
I do, too. I think it's the Patriots no matter what, regardless of what happens this season.
Had David Tyree dropped that ball, I would be wholeheartedly
See, I just
agree.
Think people get caught up in the spacing. I think if it had been Patriots won in 2001, they won in 2004, and they won in 2008. Everyone would say, wow, they
well,
were
but see,
that
see, that's
whole
not
decade.
What we remember, though. What we remember is what have you done for us lately.
But that's my point.
Well, and the Steelers would have won, what, three of the last four in this decade?
Right.
Well, I think that's what people will remember.
Maybe, but I just think if you look at all the sum of the decade, which is what it's supposed to be, right?
Agree.
Team of the decade.
I agree.
Hey,
you
no
look at the Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl wins, title game appearances.
But they're gonna remember, you know, the three of the last four way more than I think what the Patriots did in 2001.
And as Paul says, when the Steelers were down, they were down.
No one considers Denver even in the conversation for team of the decade of the 90s. They won back-to-back late in the decade after the Cowboys had won three out of four early in the decade.
Right. That's a good
no
point.
One even
right.
considers Denver in the conversation.
That's right. A good point. That is a good point.
And I wouldn't consider the Colts in the conversation if they won the Super Bowl this year.
I don't either.
All right. Well, you can continue that conversation with John.
On everythingbutpatriots.com with John Rook.
John, what do you got coming up?
You know what? I have yet to talk to the producers, so I really don't know, Fred.
Wow, there's like five of them.
I know.
They don't know.
Armando five people to do one job.
You know what they say when you have five producers, John? You don't have one.
And if you're letting the fans pick your producer, you're going to be joining them any minute.
Probably so.
Armando Salguero.
Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald.
Armando Salguero.
All right.
And Russell Baxter.
All right. Well, stay tuned for Patriots Playbook. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday.